Turn to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. Ephesians chapter 3. Just give you a brief update. I picked up Dr. and Mrs. Gilmore late last evening from the airport. They came back from several weeks of treatment out in Southern California. And so far, so good with that. They're asking for continued prayer for them. They'll begin meetings again here very quickly, but they seem to go well, and praying for them and of course, for so many others that are facing physical difficulties at this time. But keep them in prayer, those of you that know them particularly. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 14 through 19, and we'll ask a question out loud. We'll let you answer it silently through the course of this message. And the question is this: are you in love? I'll ask it out loud, and I'll ask you to answer it silently to yourself. This is not share time, and we don't need to know the details. If you are and you want to share it with someone, then we'll do that more on a one-on-one basis rather than in front of the entire room here. And if you're not, we don't want you to embarrass you either. Of course, we're not talking about love between a young man and a young lady or a husband and wife, but we're going to talk about being in love the way that Paul uses the term many times in just a couple chapters. And are you in love is worth us considering when we see what this means in the life of a Christian. We need to answer that. We need to ask ourselves that. We need to answer it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded," there's our word, "in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." And we see this phrase "in love" used several times. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. "Forbearing one another in love." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Look there, "speaking the truth in love." Ephesians 4, 16 at the end of the verse, "edifying of itself in love." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, "walk in love." So our question today is this: are you in love? The Business Insider is a magazine, I suppose, that on Valentine's Day 2012 published an article entitled, "Here are the 7 dumbest Hallmark holidays." Do you know what a Hallmark holiday is? It's a holiday that is said to have been invented simply so that Hallmark can get rich, so that Hallmark can make a lot of money. Can you guess what holiday is at the top of the list? It's really coming around the corner here. Some of you might not even know about that. It doesn't show up in your daytime or as an official holiday, but it's called Sweetest Day. "Always observe the third Saturday of October," says Hallmark. This holiday was created legitimately by a Cleveland-based candy company in order to sell sweets. Other things from Cleveland, Ohio, the American Greeting Card Company. In 3 years ago, Hallmark offered 120 different Sweetest Day cards. So this is amazingly enough, about 6 months or so after Valentine's Day, the card business goes down in October. There's no big event. And so Sweetest Day was invented. Now, guys, there's one of two ways that you're going to deal with Sweetest Day. You'll either say this, I'm not going to be caught up in this commercialization of love. I reject Sweetest Day on grounds of character and discipline. Okay, that's one way. You got to be careful against that, though, because that is a, what they call it, two-edged sword. Because just on the other side of that is the reason to go something like this. Well, I'll take all the opportunities I can to express my great love for that person I care so much about. In fact, too bad there's not more Sweetest Days or Valentine's Day throughout the year, because I have such tremendous love for that person, that special person. So, you know, it's one of those things where you use the weapon, and if you're not careful, it gets used back against you. All right, Sweetest Day makes a lot of money for the Hallmark Company. Tax Day, April 15th, an official holiday. Hallmark offers Happy Tax Day e-cards now that people can spend their money on and send off to fellow procrastinators, right? Yeah, so you usually are a network. Procrastinators usually network together and stick together as a team. So April 15th doesn't mean anything to you if you're not a procrastinator, but it means everything to you if you indeed are. Clergy Appreciation Day. I just wanted to mention that passed October 9th, and none of us got any gifts from you on that day. They asked the question, how many Hail Marys is a card worth on Clergy Appreciation Day? National Nurses Day, May the 6th. This was invented in 1992. 22 cards for National Nurses Day. Not to be outdone, National Doctors Day on March 30th. Why March 30th? That date celebrates the anniversary of the first time general anesthetic was used in surgery. So I guess if there is a worthwhile holiday worth celebrating, if you've ever had surgery, you would be willing to at least concede that March 30th is a good day. October 16th, it's pretty close, isn't it? National Bosses Day. A great way for you to get in with your with your boss if you need a raise and are skilled at pandering. There you go. You didn't know this either, but February 14th, Ferris Wheel Day. That is the day that the American engineer and inventor George Ferris was born, and so now we have National Ferris Wheel Day. No cards. They have not ventured out to making cards for that yet, probably because there would be a competition with another holiday on February 14th, but I'll have to look that one up. It doesn't really reference which one that is. Maybe I should. All right, ways to express your love, ways to know that you love something is given to us here different times in a book of Ephesians. A frog goes to a fortune teller. I don't recommend, for one, a frog speaking A or B, fortune telling. So I'm not really advocating either speaking frogs or fortune telling. I want to get that out front, lest I be misquoted. But anyway, a frog goes to a fortune teller to find out if he will ever fall in love. The fortune teller reads his palm. That's a stretch, isn't it? These illustrations really stretch the truth some. But after doing that, the frog hears, I have good news for you. And I also have some bad news for you. Which would you like to hear first? The frog, being the optimist, asks for the good news first. And the reply is, you are going to meet a very pretty girl who's going to want to know all about you. And the frog smiles from ear to ear. Is that even legitimate too? Ear to ear on a frog? I don't know. Big smile on the frog. Great. Well, go ahead and tell me the bad news. The bad news is you're going to meet her in biology class. So I don't know if that's the love that the frog was looking for, but he was going to meet that pretty girl. To our text, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 is where we'll start here, and we're going to just look at those five verses. And by the end of this, I just challenge you with this thought to ask yourself, are you in love? And answer that. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray, God, as we consider this thought today, I pray that we would ask ourselves if our lives, our attitudes, our actions, our words match up with what your word gives us as being really in love. And I pray, God, that you would give us some acceptance of this truth of Scripture, even the parts that are difficult for us in our human nature and our human flesh to do and to face. Help us to face the Scripture, Lord, and to be honest with ourselves about it. Bless this time that we have to look into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love, this love here is a foundational love. So number one, this love that we are looking at is our foundation. What about this word love? What about it? This word for love, you know there's a couple different aspects of love in Scripture. This is the love that's been defined as spontaneous love, irrespective of our rights, our own rights, or our slights. People that have done us wrong, or ways that we've had our feelings hurt or not gotten our way. This is a spontaneous love, irrespective of rights or slights. Some have defined this love as a divine love, the love that God has for us while we were yet sinners. And so this is a foundation to our life. Look at the verse again there. Being rooted, think about what we see when we see a tree. We see a tree that's beautiful. But that beautiful tree would not be up. It would not be standing. It would not look beautiful if it wasn't for the fact that down beneath the ground, it had its food source, it had its water source, and it has its stability. Rooted and grounded, we think of a building. It's beautiful to look at the building. Not many people love to go and take pictures of beautiful foundations, though, do they? Well, wait a second here. Before we backfill that foundational wall, I want to get some pictures of that. That is gorgeous. Look at the concrete. Look at the way the dirt just, like, flows against it. That is lovely. I have not seen anything like this before. I'm going to take a picture of that and make, a successories poster out of that. We're going to get rich. This is wonderful. Can stock photo, here we go. Look at this. We don't look at the beauty of the roots of a tree. We look at the strength and the loveliness of the foundation. But there's no building without that. There's no tree without that, without being rooted and grounded. We're just surface then. We're shallow. Are you in love? What's your root system like? What's your water source like? What's your foundation like? Are you stable? Do you have a stable, strong, secure foundation? It's love that's the key for that. That'll make you strong. That can allow us to keep building and keep growing, but we're not going to keep building and not going to keep growing unless number one is taken care of, and that's what's beneath the ground. What's that part of you that's not seen? How's that? What's the condition of that? A lot of construction men make a lot of money by doing foundation repairs. And it's the reason why those are difficult and hard and people don't really like to pay for that is because you don't really get any beauty out of it. But comes a time when a person knows, if I don't get that foundation taken care of, the whole thing is going to crumble in, right? If we don't fix the disease and the roots of that tree, I mean, we're just might have to cut the tree down, plant something else. So these things are not attractive because they're not what we see, but they are invaluable. They are vital. They are a part of our Christian life. That's the start. So let's look at this again, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. And then it's talking about breadth, length, depth, height, all aspects. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ. The love of Christ. All right, starts with being having this love that is rooted and grounded. Keep your finger there. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. And here we have the two-step process, really, of love in a Christian life. Let's look at Colossians 2, 7. Rooted, okay, got that. That's what's underneath. That's the stability. And what's the next two words? Built up. Rooted and then built up. The danger for us in Independent Baptist Church and Fairhaven Baptist College is to think this. Shows my love for the Lord. I mean, but look at my tie. See it? I'm dressed neat. My shoes are shined. I'm carrying my Bible off the ears. All right, tapered. Now, wow, that person really loves God. That's the danger. That's our danger. Okay. Obviously, I think our appearance is a reflection of our view of our Lord, and our appearance should reflect holiness, seriousness. Our appearance should reflect the fact that we're not following the fads of this temporary world, but the first question to ask yourself, are you in love, is to ask yourself, what about the root? What about the foundation? Where's that at? Or is my life just what he or she sees? Or they see? Where's most of my time spent? Where's most of my time spent worrying about and being concerned about? Root. The foundation. This is point number one. This love is our very foundation. Without a root, without a foundation, soon the whole thing will crumble in. The building will fall. The tree will die. All right, number two. This love not only is our foundation, number one, but number two, this love shows up in our attitude. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Ephesians 4, 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. All right, so number two, this love shows up in our attitude toward others. So this love can't just be left underground and hidden. We can't say, well, I have a great, solid, deep love for the Lord. I'm rooted and I'm grounded in the love of the Lord, but I cannot stand people. I can't stand. Don't want to be around people. I can't put up with that. No, that's not the way that this love works. Are you in love? How's your foundation? Are you in love? How's your attitude toward others? Don't let me answer that for you. I want you to answer that. Forbearing one another in love. Forbearance. That idea is holding back or refraining, holding back what? Holding back our own irritations, lack of patience, holding back our anger, holding back our revenge, trying to get back, holding that back. That's what this love will do. It'll affect the way you look at and treat and view other people. Is there someone that we can look to in Scripture as an example for lowliness and meekness, for long-suffering, for forbearance? Is there any person in Scripture that we could look at for an example? Well, of course, there's men that we could look at times in their life that were meek. Moses was meek, right? But Moses didn't always forbear his anger either, did he? Okay? We can look at other times men were meek and lowly, but this list in verse 2 simply defines the the view of Christ and the way that Christ looks at you and looks at me. Because as the perfect man, he had every right to not be lowly or meek or long-suffering or to forbear, right? Yet he did. He is the example of this. Why? Well, because he loved us. What type of love? He had love that was spontaneous, irrespective of our rights. Are you in love? How do you view others? What is your attitude toward others? Are you exhibiting a forbearance, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering? You received that from the Lord. And we're trying to learn, as we see here in verse 19 of Ephesians 3, to know the love of Christ. Are we not trying to learn the love of Christ? We are, aren't we? Trying to apply that? Okay. How about our attitude toward others? Ask yourself that. Interestingly enough, the next word that comes after this in Ephesians 4:3 is endeavoring. That word endeavoring is the same word used in Timothy for studying. Studying to show yourself approved unto God. In other words, endeavoring. This is not, let me say it like this, this is work. To exhibit this love doesn't happen by accident. You have decided, just like a man that marries a woman has decided he is going to love her. He is going to love her. And think about the marriage vows, right? Sickness and health, richer for poor, better for worse. Okay? That is a self-sacrificing love. This love, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, don't think it will happen just because you say it's going to. You're going to be tested in that, right? You're tested frequently in that love. This love shows up in our attitude. Number three, Ephesians 4:15. Let's look over there, chapter 4, verse 15. Thirdly, this love shows up in our words. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love. This verse does not say that speaking the truth is love. Okay? Some have said that. Well, I just told him the truth because I love him. And the way that came across didn't reveal much love. Okay? Just speaking the truth alone is not this love. Speaking the truth in love. On the other hand, this verse does say we must speak the truth. So consider the way you talk, your words. This love shows up in our words. Consider your words. A, do you speak, when you speak to someone, let's say you are trying to show someone, hey, you're not doing what's right here. You know, you shouldn't do that. That's wrong to do that. How do you do that? Do you speak that in love? Or do you say, you jerk, you know better than that. What do you think you're doing? Quit being an idiot. Well, that's speaking the truth, but not in love. On the other hand, people say, well, I'm not going to be a jerk. I don't want to be a jerk, so I'll be this person over here that sees something wrong going on, but doesn't speak about it. That's not what this verse says either, is it? What is it? Two things. Speak the truth in love. All of our responsibilities is to speak what's true, to speak the truth. It's our responsibility to speak that truth in love. They work together. All right, so number four. This love, are you in love? Let me back up. Are you in love? Do your words show that you're in love? Do your words show the love of Christ? Number four, chapter 4, verse 16. This love builds us up. The end of verse 16, Ephesians 4:16, unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, we need to back up a little bit and read verses 14 through 16 to put this all in proper context. Okay. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, immature, tossed to and fro. That's like the waves of the sea being stuck on a boat with no directional, with the loss of the rudder, bouncing around on the waves, carried about, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind, bouncing around something that has no root or no foundation. It's blown around by the wind. By the sleight of men, sleight's word for cube, it's a gambling term. It's like a dice, a die, a cube, a randomness, a life of random activity, whereby they, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is the person that is not a Christian, that is not rooted and grounded in love. Okay? Not rooted and grounded in love. You're going to bounce around in life. You're going to be like a ship on the ocean that has lost its rudder, or its engine went dead, where you're subject to whatever the waves do to you. You're like something that's blown around in the wind. You're not moored down. You're not tied down to anything. The wind comes, and well, here we go, bouncing around. Easily deceived. They lie in wait to deceive. The devil will deceive you very easily without being rooted and grounded in love. Life's going to be tough. Christian that's forsaken this love is going to be bounced around, going to be abused. It's going to have a difficult go of it. This is part of the devil's plan. In verse 14, they lie in wait to deceive. That's the same word used for the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. The devil's plan to get you to not be in love makes him have the victory in life. Rather, look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Fitly joined together. That's an architectural term. Men that cut the wood to establish the walls and then join them together with the fasteners. It fits just right. All right, if you've seen someone in construction do a job and they're building a building and it just fits just so. It's nice. It's everything was measured right, it was cut right, it was secured together. It's a solid building. The next word is compacted, and that is the idea of two pieces of fabric coming together, maybe a textile illustration or a sewing where two pieces of fabric come together and they're compacted. They're lined up just right. The seam is nice and neat. I'm speaking of things I do not know of. Hopefully you ladies know a little bit more about this than me. But I do remember seeing my mom on the sewing machine, and she would run the seams, and she was trying to be very careful that that seam was stitched just right. It's nice when it's precise. It's not nice when it's not precise, right? Has anybody ever done a bad sewing job or a bad alteration job, guys, on one of your suits, and you get it back and say, I could have done that. I can do that. It's not a very good job, but when it comes back and it's just right, men on the higher end of life talk about having tailored suits, right? They go in, they not bought from JCPenney, not bought from Kohl's or from Goodwill, but made from scratch, right? A suit made from scratch. I mean, that suit is going to fit you just perfectly because exact measurements were taken. It's made just for you. And they say those fit and feel just very nice. Why? They're compacted. They're joined together. They're fit just right. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Number 5. We find in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love. If you have this love of Christ, and it is your foundation, it is you are rooted in him. And this love that you have learned from Christ has affected your attitude toward others. It's affected your words. It's affected you and strengthened you and built you up. Then this love in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, is what will affect and show up your entire lifestyle. Look at the verse. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Your entire lifestyle will be marked by walking in this love. When we get to that place, the Lord has us. He has our attitude. He has our words. He has our entire life rooted and founded upon Him. He's got all of us. Are you in love? Are you in love? Lord, we thank you for your word, and I pray that this brief thought would be a challenge to each one here. As we go throughout the course of our day, Lord, we want to find ourselves doing what's right. We want to find ourselves with this spontaneous love that we have in our heart because we remember what you did for us. We remember the love that you had for us. Help that, Lord, to affect the words of everyone in here. Help that to affect the attitude of everyone in here. Help that to affect the way that each one in this room views another person. And help it, Lord, to affect our very lifestyle. Bless, we pray today, your word. If you would stand at your seat with heads bowed and eyes closed, we always end chapel with a brief time of invitation. If in asking yourself that question, are you in love, the Lord laid some aspect of these verses on your heart. The invitation is open for you to come make a decision here with him today.